All right, let's go over to Galatians, please, in Galatians chapter 5, or pardon me, chapter 3, and verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful, or you can put in your Bible, believing Abraham. Praise God. All right. Well, we're talking on the subject of living in the supernatural. And today, our topic is one thing is needful. One thing is needful. Now, the scripture that we read is saying that they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Are you of faith?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you're of faith. Okay. Were you blessed?
Yes.
Now let's kind of see what that means. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. Because as Abraham was blessed, I'm blessed. All right, look what it says here in Genesis chapter 24. And look at verse 1. And Abraham was old. I'll just stop right there. You know what I mean? And well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And what do you mean in all things? What is left after all? None. So it tells me here that God had blessed Abraham in every area. Blessing is different from cursing. When the blessing is on your life, the curses are removed. Now, the Bible says over in that Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we're identifying with Abraham. And the blessings that are coming on us are the blessing of Abraham, but it comes when we come into Christ. Because Christ was the object of that blessing. Now, the blessing that's on his life is powerful enough to fix any place that is ruined. The blessing that's on his life, one man said, is more powerful than the blessing that was on Adam. Put the scripture up there, please. Genesis chapter 1. And over in Genesis chapter 1, just look at verse 26. He said this, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Then he goes to verse 28. He said, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Now, this is the way it has it written here. So, God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful. Remember what he said? Light be. Be healed. Now, notice what he wasn't doing. He wasn't communicating. He was transferring power. Got it? Now this power is coming on Adam and Eve, and now this power is going to give them ability to take any spot in the earth and turn it into Eden. Makes no difference. Makes no difference where he sends you to preach. Wherever he sends you to start a work, you're going to turn it into Eden. Where it makes no difference where you're starting a business at. Wherever you're starting a business doesn't make any difference, because if you're starting a business, then you go into a tough neighborhood, it doesn't make any difference. You're going to prosper and be in good health. Why? Because of the blessing. That's how powerful the blessing is. One of the biggest things the enemy tries to fight is you getting faith in the blessing. The Bible talks about in Romans chapter 14, the fullness of the blessing. That we're coming into a time now that you're going to see that blessing manifest like never before. And if you'll just right for a minute, just go with me. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 51, please. Isaiah chapter 51. Look what it says here in Isaiah chapter 51, and look at verse 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto a rock which you have hewed, and to the hole of the pit which ye were digged. Look unto Abraham, your who? Father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him who? Alone. A lot of time we're trying to take folk with us. But I called him alone. And did what to him? Bless him. And did what else to him? Increased him. Now look at the next verse. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. Zion symbolizing the church. He will comfort her, all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Are you with me? So notice what he's saying here. He's saying, wait a minute. He's saying that I called him alone and I blessed him and increased him. Now, if you remember in Genesis chapter 12, one of the first things God did, he said, Abram, come out from your kindred and from your kind, from your father's house into a land that I'm going to show you. Now, he didn't give him a brochure. He said, I want you to go where I'm going to lead you. And he led him to a place that was dry. Nothing could grow, nothing there. Why did he leave him there? Because he was going to turn it into Eden. He was going to use faith in that blessing to make it happen. But because he wasn't developed yet in the revelation of that blessing, he went on down to Egypt. Say amen to this. And he goes down there to a place that had been watered by the foot and so forth and so on. Now, my point to you is that this blessing is on you and I. Now look at this same chapter here, and look at verse 16. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may do what? Plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, thou art my people. So notice what he's going to do here. He's going to send you places, and you're going to speak to it. You're going to release the blessing over those places. And as you release the blessing over those places, something's going to start happening. Say amen to that. So here is the power of this. You and I have got to get the real understanding of it and believe this, because it will work in your life. You can go in your house and start speaking blessings. Come on now, you can go to your job and start speaking blessings over people. Come on, you don't need to curse anybody. Start speaking blessings over them and watch what's going to happen to their lives. Now you are blessed like Abraham. Abraham was blessed in all things. Now, where we left off last is that Abraham passed on the blessing to Isaac. Isaac passed on the blessing to who? Jacob. Come on, you can say it. Now, how did Jacob get the blessing? Stole it. It's key that you understand this, because the blessing was supposed to go to the first one. But the first one didn't have a revelation of what, how valuable that blessing was. So here Jacob steps up and he gets the blessing. Now, here's the deal about that. They all could have had to been blessed. Boy, that's the thing about a blessing. If you believe, you'll get the blessing. All right, now, so what we saw is that this blessing now is on Joseph. Joseph has a dream. Brothers didn't like it, threatened to kill him, sold him as a slave. So now, Joseph was raised up because we said that Joseph was an international figure in a tribal environment. You know, sometimes we like to hang around kinfolk. And there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes the environment is not conducive for you to be all that you're supposed to be. Am I doing okay here? So sometimes God's got to move you. Kicking and screaming, but move you anyway. So he goes down there, and the revelation of this is that the church is not designed to be detached from the world. Meaning that you're going to be in the world, but not what? You're not going to be of the world. So your thinking is going to be different from the way the world thinks. Boy, that's good right there. And so as God, Lord have mercy, there's so much, I don't want to look at them notes. There's so much in there. So here is Jacob raised up. Now he's going to call for his dad to get his dad and them come back. So they came down there. Then Pharaoh saw his dad and say, now, how old are you? And I told you, whenever folk ask you that, they're aiming at something. You may not know what they're looking for. So what happens is he said, I've not yet attained to the age of my fathers. Meaning that his father Isaac was 160 when he died. His grandfather, Abraham, was 175 when he died. And kicking. Y'all know what I mean by that? So, you are supposed to live long and strong. Now, what we discovered in here is that this blessing protects you, promotes you, does all kinds of things for you. Now watch this now, just stay with me, please. Let's go over to Job and Job chapter 1, please. Job chapter 1. In Job chapter 1, where is Job? Got it. All right. Now, remember, let me read it again. Let me read this again. He said, I want to make sure I quote it right. He said, so then they which be of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. That's key. Okay? Because you got to have the same faith Abraham had so that you can get the same blessing manifested that he got. All right? Now, Job. What happened with Job? All right? People have heard about Job, even folk who don't know nothing about Jesus heard about Job. And if you look at Job chapter 1, all right? And here's Satan. In verse 8 says, God said, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth. Job, powerful, powerful person. God bragging on him. All right, look what it says in verse 9. And Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Watch this. Has not thou made a hedge about him? Underline hedge about him. Got it? And about his what? House. Wow. And about all that he what? Hath. Keep going. On every side. Thou hast what? Blessed the work of his hands. Got it? That blessing was on Job, and that's why he got so much. But he fell away. He did like, in a way, Jacob did. Because what Jacob did is he allowed himself to be deceived. His sons brought the coat of his younger son, Joseph, and had sprinkled blood on it and made it look like a wild beast, killed Jacob or Joseph in the wood somewhere. Got it? Now, put something right there where you got it at Job, and let's go over to 1 Corinthians and chapter 10, please. 1 Corinthians and chapter 10. Glory to God. Let me know when you get there. 1 Corinthians and chapter 10. All right, here's what he says. Just a minute. Verse 13. And there hath no temptation, and if you look in the Greek, it says temptation, test, or trial, taken you, but such is common, underline common, to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, tested, or tried above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to what? Bear it or to endure it. Got it? Now, when he says there is no temptation taken you but such as common to man refers to the fact that if the devil tempts you, he can never tempt you supernaturally. He is limited to eyes, ears, nose, mouth. He is limited to your five physical senses. In other words, you will see his temptation very clearly. It's not going to be something that you just, boy, I didn't see that. That thing was in the spirit. No, it's not. He's not allowed to tempt you on that level. That he is going to be held down in this place where he can only tempt you in the natural. Got it? All right. Now, he tempted Jacob. He came in through the sons who dipped the coat in blood, and they gave it to Jacob, and Jacob starts saying his son is dead. Got it? And he says, I'm going down to the grave and I'm going down there weeping and grieving. He said, I'm going to do it till I die. Who told him his son was dead? It wasn't the boys. They just brought the coat. Satan works more on suggestion that he does in a flat out lie. And you'll find that that has a way of getting into people's systems in a better way. Now I'm saying that because here the boy was fine. He was just now sold, but he was alive. But the enemy made him look like he was dead. But the temptation came naturally. I'm just telling you this now, so that you got to put your flesh under. And when things come, you've got to measure them against the word of God. Because it was a fact that the cloak was dipped in blood. But the truth was, Satan, because of the blessing, couldn't kill your son. That's the truth. And the thing that you have to do is you've got to let God be true. Put it up there. Romans chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4. Here's what he says. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Keep going. God forbid. Yea, this is you now. Let God, come on, be true, and every man be a liar. Let's put another one up there. Go up to Philippians, please, and chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true. Stop right there. I'll read the rest of it. Whatsoever things are honest. So put it up there, please. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, you better think on these things. The first thing you got to think is what's true. I know what the fact is, but what is true? I know what the professional has just told me, but what is the truth? I know what it looks like, but what is the truth? And I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to discipline your flesh to do that, because there's two opinions. One coming out of your spirit, which holds your faith, and the other one comes out of your head, which holds your reasoning. You're going to have to make your head bow down to your spirit. You're going to have to decree a thing, and it shall be established. The truth is, you are not broke. That's the truth. The truth is you have been made rich beyond your wildest imagination. You shall know the truth, and the truth, come on, shall make you free. Now we go into the New Testament, because Jesus taught the supernatural. Because I told you that anything that comes to you that's outside of the Word of God, not in line with the Word of God, it's not the truth, and it's a deception. That the enemy can use that to bring us into bondage. And what he did is he showed them something. Now, I'm only saying that, okay, here's Job's situation. But if a person is in faith, like Jairus, Jairus said, Jesus, come to my house. Now, you got to get this, because this is a paradigm shift in your mind. He says, come to my house. My daughter is lying deathly sick. Come and lay your hands on her that she might be healed. That was it. He released his faith. That's what he believed, didn't he? All right. Jesus is walking with him. Here comes this woman out of nowhere. What has happened is she's heard about Jesus. And she starts saying something. If I can just but touch his what? Clothes. Keep going. I shall be whole. The Bible says in the Amplified, she continued to say. Now, I'm going to cover this next time because we don't have enough time this time. I'm going to cover meditation. What does meditation do? Shift your belief. Glory to God. It makes it so it elevates your thinking. It makes it so what you didn't think yesterday, you can think today. And as a man thinketh in his heart, come on, so is it. You got the goods on the devil. So what happened? She said that enough that she destroyed the grow worse image inside of her and built a whole new image, and she couldn't wait to get to Jesus. She pressed her way through that crowd. Understand, some book says she broke 12 Jewish laws coming out of that house. But it didn't make no difference, because she was walking by faith. And when you're walking by faith, it honors God, and God is going to honor your faith. She touched his garment, poof! own virtue flowed. Why? Faith is the anointing connector. It will connect the anointing of God's word or God's whatever it is into your life. It drove out the sickness, and she felt in her body she was healed and fell down and told him all the truth. Now, all the truth meaning it took her about 2 or 3 hours. Meanwhile, the runners came to Jesus, and Jairus said, "Trouble the master no longer. Your daughter is already dead." Now, this is where religion comes in. Religion always puts you in a place of non-resistance. Religion, it always, "Well, you know, the Lord, you don't know why the Lord has the Lord has his way." You know, they go on like that. And the devil is the one that did it. And they busy talking about the Lord is doing this. No, the Lord ain't doing nothing. The Lord's trying to save you. The Lord's trying to heal you. Come on. The Lord's trying to deliver you. The Lord's trying to make your kids get saved. Now, I don't care if you don't receive it. I'm going to preach it anyway because this is my last time today. I'm ready to go. So what happened? He gets to the house. When they told Jairus that, Jesus said, "Shh."
Amen.
What did he say? Don't say anything. Don't. When your faith starts to waver, don't say nothing. Just stand on the last faith declaration that you made, see? And so what happened? He gets to the house, and they were weeping and wailing, all the relatives, kinfolk. And the Bible says Jesus opened the door and said this, "The daughter is not dead, she just asleep." They stopped crying and started laughing at him. What did he do? He put them out. You know, some folk, you just got to put them out. I'm talking about kinfolk. Because they ain't ready to believe it. They don't want to believe it. Say amen to that.
Amen.
You can tell them about how good God is, and then they go right down to that unbelieving church again and come back telling you that God, sometimes he just has his way and he hits you over the head and you just have to go. Well, that's why you got to say, "Wait a minute, I'm going to believe what I got to believe." He put them out, raised her up. Why? Because of the covenant, because of the blessing. Under that covenant, that blood covenant, even Israel, if they fought a war, couldn't even get hurt. That's how powerful that covenant was. Even if they had children, no miscarriages. I'm talking about the covenant now. I'm talking about children born that were deformed anyway. None of that. No children prematurely dying. I'm talking about this blessing now. I'm talking about the blessing. See, y'all looking at me strange. But you don't need to look at me strange. You need to look at the Word of God. And I'm telling you, my friends, this has not been preached. This has not been preached. I've seen very few people ever talk about this because it's the supernatural. And folk are looking for places they can go where they don't have to use no faith. So if they come in here and I preach faith, all of a sudden they say, "Well, I don't want none of that." See, because they want to go somewhere where they can hear about how hard God is and how rough side of the mountain you got to climb up. The Bible says, "Speak to the mountain." I put something in my notes. No matter what the situation called for, Jesus always preached heaven's solution. Boy, that's a revelation right there. No matter what the situation called for, Jesus always preached heaven's solution. He didn't come down to their level not once.
He preached heaven going in and coming out. Why? Because he knew that the problems that we're going to have soon are not going to be able to be solved by the wisdom that men have today. God knew that there are going to have to be a greater level of wisdom so that we can get some things done. Let me tell you something. The smartness of Egypt could not handle the famine that came into that land. The smartness of Egypt could not handle that famine. And I'm telling you what's going on now, a casino can't handle it. It ain't gonna handle it. The lottery couldn't handle it. A casino can't handle it. More taxes can't handle it. Ain't nothing gonna handle it but the blessing. That's the message right there. I said that's the message right there. And you are the blessing bearers. You got the blessing on your life. You can eliminate the national debt of $12 trillion. You can eliminate it in a month. That's all I'm going to say. Get your mind up. Get your mind up. We got to get our minds up. You got to think on another level. You got to speak on another level. Baba. Yeah. You can be a millionaire in a month. They didn't have what you had. They didn't have the internet like you got it today. Come on, they didn't have some of the wisdom that God's pouring out in the last hour today. Come on now. They didn't have a way that you can do all of this that you need to do and be global in just 3 weeks. I'm telling you, you can be a millionaire in a month. Now, what are you going to do with the word of God from the prophet? You're going to take his word and you're going to meditate it day and night. Sit down. Believers. That's what I'm looking for. No, folks. Mm-mm. Under that covenant, the devil has no right to touch your house. Let me show you something. Can I show you this? Turn to Genesis chapter 14. I got time. I'm going to just show you. I'm 6 minutes and 59 seconds. Come on now. Come on. Genesis chapter 14. Now, everybody may not be ready for this because you want that old time religion. I'm talking about new wine. Come on. I'm talking about getting drunk. Come on, some of y'all need to drink a little bit. I ain't talking about no Jack Daniels. I'm talking about drink the holy word of God. Boy, that'll make you say things that you ain't never said. You know a drunk man, how a drunk man act. He'll talk to you like, who you think you are? You better get drunk off of this word, Jack. When you get full of faith, you get kind of drunk. You be ready to say anything to anybody. All right, now look at this. Where did I tell you to turn? Genesis chapter 14. Just look at this. I discovered this. I discovered it the other day, and remember that whatever is revealed to you will be restored to you. And I got this revealed to me. And I saw it. I said,
See, I've been claiming millionaires in here and billionaires. But then it jumped, the scripture jumped out, because once you start meditating it, it'll lead you to wisdom. Y'all didn't get it, but that's all right. You will. This is when the enemy came and took Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew, but it took everything Lot had. But the word got back to Abram, who had the blessing. Verse 14. And when Abram heard that his brother Lot was taken captive, he armed his what? Trained servants. Keep going, keep going. Born in his own house. Stop right there. I'm the angel over this house. Whatever is on my life, whatever anointing is on the head, is coming on you right now. Nothing can touch you, because we're building a hedge. And I'm not going to get in fear and break it. You're going to prosper. Sit down. Let me finish this. Isn't this wonderful? Man. Who was that? That was E.W. Kenyon said he never had anybody sick or die. What was sick? In 30 years. He caught a hold of something. See, revelation makes you a revolutionary. All of a sudden, I saw that I could put up a hedge. The anointing that was on David, didn't it come on the 400 mighty men? Sure. Not only did David give $1 billion, they gave $1 billion. Come on now. I'm talking about what's on me. Y'all got to get me. All right. Where am I? I got to come out of there. All right. Here's my point to you. I got to go to my last scripture, because I got 2 minutes, 45 seconds, and I'm going to quit on time. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, please. Oh, y'all getting it tonight. Yeah. Folks, I don't know about you, but whatever Jesus died to provide, I want it. Do you know he died so that you could have peace? Yes. Not only have peace, over in Isaiah 32, it says you'll have peaceable habitation. That means you don't have to live around nobody that's shooting. You don't have to live around nobody playing loud boo 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 music. Come on now. This is your right. All we need to do is get in that word. That's all. All right, put that scripture up there that I put up there, the last scripture, please. All right, here's what it says. Now it came to pass as they went at the end to a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Watch this. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she come help me. And Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, girl. No, I put that in there myself. That is, it's not up there. Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You see, if Martha knew the word, She could have gone in the kitchen, boiled one kosher hot dog, put it in a bun, put some ketchup and whatever y'all like, put it before Jesus and say, now multiply that, I'm gonna hear the word of God. Give yourself a hand. One thing is needful. The blessing is on your life. Amen, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God praise for it. Let's receive that word today. Let's receive it. Receive that blessing.